Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sir, it's never the underdog. Yes, sir. It's never the underdog. Yes, sir. Final four now.
What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to the Devil's Den podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith. Join me, my co-host, Just Shoe today. Raul's out, a little under the weather for us. We're recording this, what's today, Wednesday night. So last night, Duke beat Syracuse 86-66. Got a game-high 21 points for Mark Mitchell. Definitely going to dive into his first half specifically here. Shoe happened to be in attendance, so I'm going to check in with him probably first here in just a second, just to check on the environment. Pretty weird just off the top having an ACC caliber game this early with no students. It kind of felt a little odd. I thought the environment from the TV was pretty good, though. Still had some chants going on, maybe not quite as connected as it typically was. Shoe, what was the experience like for you? I know a bunch of guys, a bunch of Twitter guys were in attendance as well. Talk us about the environment a little bit, some of the pregame stuff, and especially during that big run.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is kind of weird having, like you mentioned, an ACC game with no students there. But we've been doing this a couple years now. I want to say the game that you and I and Shuff went to, we went in the student section.
Yeah, that was might Buffalo. Have been during,
yeah, that was like Christmas over, break. Yeah. Over yeah. Some kind of break, right? So this one, the only thing that stuck out to me, and I don't think I noticed it that previous time, you know, even the mascot's not there. There's no cheerleaders. The mascot's not out there. The you know, so they're not surfing the surfboard or whatever. They're playing the music, but nobody comes out. You know, they started playing and I started looking around and I'm like, wait, none of them are here. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, for that simple fact, I thought the chants were fine. I will say, and this might be sacrilege, I refuse to join in on the cascada thing. Yeah. You know, I'm a 40-year-old male. I'm just not going to do that. Now, every time we win, love that.
Yeah.
Do that every time. Duke, you know what it is. Mm-hmm. Hard to do when there's like 7-year-olds in front of you, but you know, they're there. Earmuffs, I guess. Sure. So other than that, yeah, I thought the crowd was good. There was a couple more Syracuse fans in the student section with us than I'd imagined going into it. So I was having a little shouting match with a guy like two seats behind me, but we got him in the end. It was all good.
Yeah. Well, let's dive in. We'll kind of talk a little bit about the first half and then the second half separately here, but just kind of a broad picture. If you're just looking at the whole game, especially the stat line, it's pretty dominant performance by Duke. I know it was close for a while there, but just looking at through some of this stuff, we had 46 points in the paint. That's good enough to be plus 14. We had 26 points off turnovers. That's plus 15, season high for Cuse on that end. 89% from the stripe. I think we're like 53, 47, 89, like as a team shooting splits, which is pretty damn good. Yeah. So it didn't start that way though, right? So let's go to the first half. And the first thing I'm going to toss out to you is about the Cuse game, but it's a little bit of a trend here. And it's these slow starts from Flip, man. I mean, it just seems like he gets two quick ones kind of early, right? You can see the body language just not be super great. And to me, again, man, it's the type of fouls that he's getting, right? Like, if they're rim contests, he's going up for a block or he's like, you know, just no dunk here. Like, that's fine with me. Fouling a three-point shooter, fouling on these ball screens, man. Like, and every time, credit to Flip, credit to the staff, he's had big second halves, right? But this is like three or four games that we've seen, like, okay, man, something's just not clicking. It's not scoring. He's fouling. Like, did you see anything in real time there? Like, are you concerned about this trend? Like, what do you make of that?
I mean, it's definitely happened, like you said, several times in a row now, it feels like. But credit to him. I mean, he always comes back in the second half and is a new man, essentially. You know, the first foul I think he picked up, you mentioned the three-point foul. That was just and I watched it. I rewatched it on the broadcast. It was a pretty whack foul, but, I mean, he fouled him. He got too close, got him on the arm. So you can't do that. And then the first foul he picked up, he was trying to swat the ball back.
Yeah.
Like an offensive rebound. I think he got called for over the back. So just being a little aggressive trying to do that, maybe not pick up some of those. I like those more than I like the ones that you mentioned, like picking up around, you know, the pick and rolls in the top of the key.
Yeah.
But, you know, to our defense, like, we started out well. I think it was 9-1 or, you know, we jumped out on them quick.
It was like 7-1, 8-1, 9-1, something like that. Yeah. They go on an 8-0 run.
And then they go on a run. And then we did it again later. But they would catch up every time. We just didn't seem like we could ever get any separation. But going back to Flip, I mean, it'd be nice. I mean, as a, you know, a preseason All-American, what we've expected him to do is put together a full 40 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, at least more consistently than he has.
Yeah. Because our numbers with him on the court versus off defensively and offensively are just staggering, right? Like, we need him on the floor. And his numbers, like, if we're looking at what he's done in the second half, these last couple games here, if he's out there for 30 minutes, then, like, he's putting up All-American numbers, right? Like, if he can stay on the floor, like, he's just unguardable at times. And we'll talk a little bit about that in the second half.
And also, I want to give him credit. I think he finished with 12.
Yes.
He had 0 on the first and finished with 12. You know, I think John talked about in the press conference, like, a guys like that, that have these expectations, they might kind of chase the numbers. I think that's how John said it. Like, he could have went out but he was still looking to pass and, you know, get others involved. And he got his points. You know, 12's not a bad number. It's not the 18 or 20 that we might think we'd get from him every night, but, getting others involved, some of the passes he made, just plays he made were, crucial, especially in that second half.
Yeah, well, and 10 or 12 in the second half, right? So if he plays more in the first half, he's probably looking at a 20-piece and like pretty easily, because they really didn't have any answer for him. You mentioned his passing, which has been phenomenal, like some of the passes he was making in this game, and he's done this for our last couple of games as well. Really, since our offense has kind of tweaked and changed a little bit, we've kind of picked up the pace. That's been nice to see. Obviously, we go 0-for-9 from three in the first half. We'll talk about the second half explosion that happened. That obviously is not great, but someone that did maybe benefit from, it's hard to say if he benefited from Flip going out, maybe in terms of just touches, but I think Flip does a great job of finding Mark. But we'd probably be bearing the lead here if we didn't start with Mark. So real time, as this is going on in the first half, we're all aware of Mark's struggles from three. 0-for-2 from there tonight, but 18 first half points, driving, running the floor hard. We talked about wanting him to start with, like, the power and the dunks the whole night. Like, the whole time he was on the floor, it was power Mark. What was that like watching it kind of unfold there in the first half?
Yeah, so we had our seats were right there, kind of across from the Syracuse bench. So we were watching us play offense on that end. And like you said, Mark was just aggressive, especially with his cutting, going up strong, getting fouled, making his free throws. You know, I watched him in the warm-ups. He was shooting that corner three right there in front of us, and I don't think he made one of them, you know, while I was watching. They were all there. He puts a lot of rotation on. The rotation's great. It's right on line. It just comes up. It either comes up just a little short, or it hits a little too much and bounces over. It's a lot of it's to do with the arc. There's no arc on it, so there's a smaller margin for error, right?
Yeah.
But we beat that to death. It is what it is. You know, luckily he came out and found ways to impact the game in other areas other than shooting, and he was incredible. I think that was his career high, 21 last night. So
yeah, I think his career high actually was like 18 or something, right? Yeah. Like 18 or something. He basically had it. He tied it, I think, in the first half alone. Yeah. I think Adam was tweeting that out here. I guess we have to talk about it a little bit. It was kind of disproven or kind of shrugged off. you take any kind of Twitter tweeting inspiration from that performance? I mean, Papa Mitchell kind of tweets that out. That kind of went viral for a little bit. We turn right around and Mark has a career day. Any coincidence there, you think? Or maybe it was just, I mean, he's due.
He was due, definitely due. I don't know, maybe it lit a fire under everyone, you know? And, you know, if that's what it's going to take for him to play like that, I'll tell Papa Mitchell to, you know,
every day
throw a couple yeah. more, bro.
Yeah, those haymakers, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Duke fans were a little tough on him. I'm sure they all pointed out his shooting numbers. Mark's had every opportunity. That's what I want to say. You know, like he's playing a lot of minutes. He's taking a lot of shots. He's getting every opportunity. He's just got to make the most of it. And last night he did. Hope he continues to do so.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Even if he's not making threes, if he only takes two open ones, like that's fine. Like what he was doing last night, like we haven't even really seen that version of Mark consistently this year, where he's running super hard, the motor just never stops, continuously in the like just looking for diving lanes.
What do you have? Probably four dunks. Probably
at least. And I thought, this is jumping ahead a little bit here, but I think Dave and his staff over there put the number one play as like McCain's transition three, which was
fine.
No real problem with that. But to me, it's the flip pass and the Mark quick spin and just hammer in the lane. Right. Like that was probably the top play because the pass was so nice. But
mine might have been Proctor's wraparound pass dump off to Mitchell for the dunk.
Three guys, too.
Because look, they were on, that's where they were coming to our side. And I'm seeing Proctor going left, coming kind of towards us. And all of a sudden he's dropping it off. And I'm like, who the hell is he passing it to?
Yeah.
Because I couldn't see Mark at all. Like he was blocked by those two Syracuse defenders. So shouts to Proctor on that pass, and then Mitchell, you know, finishing off with the hammer.
And you know, before we transition here, shouts to the Sean Stewart and Power and guys like and Jalen Blakes for coming in. We really kind of had to just survive that first half, right? Like we were throwing guys in there. Yeah, Jalen was huge. Sean maybe showed a little bit of like the quiet down from all the people clamoring for him to just play 20 minutes a game. He's just not quite there yet. The athleticism is through the roof.
It wasn't far off. I mean, he had some nice play. I think he had a couple contests and a couple rebounds, and I know he tried to go up and dunk one as soon as he got in. That didn't work out for him, but
it's just tough because the position that he plays like is really demanding of like defensive responsibility, right? Like if you're going to be a backline guy, you're calling out switches, you're calling out hedges, you're calling out screens, right? Like you're the one kind of pointing things through. It takes a while to learn that.
I will say this. He did have one possession. He got switched off on Mintz, and he stuck with him. Now, Mintz got him in the end. He gave him a head fake, and Sean bit on it. But then Jalen came to help out and block the shot.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
And okay, and then that's when we came down and we passed it ahead to Jalen. He scoops it back to Mark as he's cutting through the lane for a dunk. That was right after the Proctor pass. Like Mark had two dunks back to back there.
Okay,
that was kind of in between. That was the defensive possession. That was like my favorite kind of pivotal possessions of the game there.
Yeah, Mark also had three assists, which is kind of like. Yeah. You know, I mean, his stat line looks phenomenal. I mean, 21-6-3, no turnovers, two blocks. I mean, you couldn't really ask for a better game.
Six rebounds too, right? So that's
six boards.
Yeah, that's what I want him to give us every night. You know, give
me six boards. If he gets six boards, we're fine. Because
we did have to play small. He was playing the five for a minute. You know,
yeah. And well, let's talk about that real briefly, and we'll take a break. Kind of a mixed bag with that, right? Like we went small and they couldn't really guard us, but you could tell, and Mark even mentioned it. You can go to thedevilsden.com on YouTube or thedevilsden.com. Yeah, their YouTube channel. And I guess Adam had some stuff up there, quotes from Mark. They haven't even really practiced that lineup with him at the five and four guards. But it was, I think it was the Brown kid or whatever had like three or four straight dunks from them on their end. And it was, you know, a little bit of trading buckets there. But we go to the half. It was 35-33, I think.
Yeah, we're up two.
Felt pretty good about it though. I mean, I think I even tweeted out, you know, we get flipped back in the second half and blowing these dudes out. Like it's fine. Like I feel good about where we're at. Was that the buzz in the arena? Everyone feels good, or was there a little bit of kind of anxious, nervous energy there?
Me personally, the 0-for-9 from three was like a concern because I'm like, oh, we just Can we just not shoot tonight? At halftime, actually, shout outs to Adam Rowe. I finally met Adam.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Had Josh Cox come. I saw Josh walking in the media room, had him pull Adam out. So maybe it was me and Adam, you know, shaking hands that sealed the deal and decided that we were going to go 8 for 8 from the 3-point line. But shout outs to my buddy Tanner that went with me too. We also switched and went to the other side of the student section for the second half so we could watch the offense on that end. And
oh yeah, I didn't know you could do that. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so I don't know which one it was that worked, but I mean the second half was incredible.
Yeah, yeah. So let's actually get into that. We'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk about the second half a little bit.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, so I think this is what everyone's here for. Let's talk about this second half. So just to bury it right away, 51-33 outscored them in the second half. You know, we can talk about like their turnovers. It was really frustrating for me watching it early on because the first like 7 minutes, I thought we were just playing like really well. And I thought it was really obvious that we were very much better than they are. Very much better. That's terrible. But that we were the better team, right? Like we were running good stuff. We were getting good looks. And then they would just come down and hit garbage. I mean, you know, maybe it's not garbage, but Mintz is hitting pull away twos. Starling hit a couple. They hit a few that were just kind of like ping-ponging around and it goes down. Felt like they were really going to hang with us there. Shout outs to Jared too for, I tweeted that too, right? He really didn't play well in the first half on either end. Couldn't hold on to the ball really well. Wasn't really making shots. Got targeted a few times. Comes right out of the gate and buries that three that really just seemed to kind of like settle us down, right? Yeah. And be like, okay, like we're fine. Shouts to Syracuse too for just giving us the ball several times. I mean, I don't know. To me, it didn't look like we necessarily were forcing the turnovers. Like they helped us, right? Like it looked like they were helping. I mean, they were throwing lobs off the rim and, you know,
there were a handful of times that we would dig in and pick, you know, but yeah, I mean, they definitely helped us with that. But in the first half, I thought we got some clean looks at threes. I know Proctor took one kind of right in front of me that was in transition. He didn't have anybody around. He just didn't make any of them. The second half, The second half, I thought we worked it around and got even better ones. But I mean, the one Jared took one in transition. Yep. Roach hit that one that I think Flip gave him from basically a cross court pass. Jared hit how many in the second half? Four.
Yeah, he hits four. Yeah. And to go 8 from 8 from 3.5 is one thing, but like, I thought we took good threes, but they weren't like easy threes, right? Like Jared's sprinting down the court, catching and shooting from the wing is not an easy three. Him coming up in transition and just pulling up like JJ is not an easy three. Roach caught that one and kind of had to like sidestep back. Yep. And then on the other side, I think McCain finds him, but he kind of is like hopping over and takes it. I mean, they all went in, but some of them were like wide open. Like Proctor's two were just pretty much wide open, right? Yeah. Like that's fine. But yeah, and so that pretty much blows the game open. Right? Yeah. I think it was 46 to 45 or something like that. And then just boom, like it's 13 points, like very quickly.
47 or something real quick. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about him in the first half and some of the concerns about the foul trouble. Flip in the second half was just great. I thought like great defensively. We ran that same little set where we just put him on the right block and they just did not have an answer for him. He had the turnaround. He had the little like midi going. He probably got a couple assists during that span. That's when the mark one happened. I think he hit another one for a three. What was that? Did you see anything different from him in terms of like body language or what he was doing on the floor? I mean, he just seemed super locked in.
So I will say this, and this is not a slight to Flip because I love Flip. He's a warrior. First half, I thought, and this was a physical game. He got fouled a couple times and they didn't call it, and he bitched about it.
Or yeah,
whined about it. And in the second half, I think he just play. You know, don't worry about it. Just play. And that's what he did. And I don't know if it was, you know, maybe that's just my observation. Maybe they just played better though. You know, sometimes it's easier when things are going better. But yeah, I mean, some of those little. Do a little turnaround, little 6-8-footer turnarounds that he was hitting. I mean, I don't know how you guard that when a 7-footer is gonna do that to you.
Yeah. I mean, he was. There's nothing you really can do, right? You put him on there 1-on-1. He was getting wherever he wanted, right? Either he was going like strong side, or that one time he just like spin move, dude. And I mean, it was great. I don't know if I've seen him make consistently those kind of little jumper and those touch shots around the rim. Like last year, those were shots he was missing and getting offensive rebounds on and then put them back in. Now he's just straight up making them. And if that's for real, like if he's got that too, where he doesn't have to get all the way to the rim, you really can't guard the guy. You know, so that was nice to see too. Another guy we should probably talk about here is coming off the bench for the second straight game. Tyrese Proctor, I thought he was great tonight, man. You know, I thought he controlled the game really well. I think he has, 14 points. How many assists do you have? 4. It felt like he had more. It felt like when he had the ball, we were just in control. He was driving. He was finding guys. I thought he played pretty good defense. Anything you saw out of him? Did you see any kind of limping? It seemed to me, watching on TV, the ankle looked fine.
Yeah, he looked fine. I know he had the one take where he went down the lane lefty and then kind of flipped it.
That was his first bucket. Right. Yeah. And then he falls.
And then he falls. And
that's the first bucket. Yeah, I know.
Got up to, you know, kept going. So, no, I didn't see anything from him that looked like any kind of pain or anything. So, the thing that I worry or not worry, just wonder about, like, you know, he emerges back and Foster kind of, you didn't really see a lot out of Caleb.
Yeah.
Last night.
And
it's not that he disappeared. I know he scored. I know he hit that little push shot in the paint. I don't know if.
And he missed some that he probably could make too.
Well, the whole team, we missed. I mean, we for scoring 86 points, there were a lot of buckets that rolled right off the rim, like layups that we had that rolled off the rim several times. I know Jeremy missed one, a scoop. He probably got fouled on, but whatever. Ryan missed one or two. Mark might have missed one or two. Jared missed one or two. Like we had some bunnies that could have still went. We could have got to, you know, 96, 98 if everything goes well.
Yeah, for sure.
That's how I thought about it last night. Yeah,
for sure. And that I think is the interesting thing of how to continue to let Foster kind of figure it out. And even when Tyrese was out, he was nice against Baylor, I thought. He was nice against Hofstra too. But even in those games, he was playing kind of more of like a game manager, just kind of taking what was there. Which is fine, which is great. But when you add another guy like Proctor in there, then Les is just there, right? Like Les is there for you. So I'd like to see him be a little bit more aggressive. I'd like to see us calling out some of that stuff where there were several times last night where Roach cut hard and I think Flip found him. He kind of bobbled it, but it led to a McCain three. So that worked out. That was fine. Mm-hmm. Jalen's kind of made some cuts. Marks made some cuts. I'd like to see Foster do a little bit of that too, right? Because he's got the athleticism and he can finish at the rim. Get this guy moving, getting curling, going downhill. You know, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm concerned about that, but I do think it's going to be interesting to how do we unlock all the guards,
right?
Because McCain and Roger are playing at a super high level. You know, I thought his defense was fine. You know, made one bad pass, but so did Proctor. Proctor and Foster both kind of made the same pass to that right side.
One-handed lazy pass. Yeah. And the one Proctor, I mean, he was staring at Roach for 10 seconds before he threw it. I was like,
and the crazy thing is it wasn't long after he made that nice wraparound pass. So it's like, you're telling me that you can see Mark Mitchell doing that, but you didn't see Judah sitting right there, whoever it was.
It was Judah got him.
So, you know, that's fine. You know, I think he'll continue to kind of develop. And like when we had John on last week, it's, you know, this is the guy that's being groomed and prepared to hopefully be a starting point guard next year for us. And I'm here for that, you know.
I'm with it. I mean, he's shown that he can do it already. And I like that the pace that he plays at, especially coming off a pick and roll, he'll get this guy on his back and just kind of, you know, he doesn't take off straight to the basket. He might just take his time and get into the lane and then can do that pull up. I mean, I think as he gets stronger and gets more reps, he's going to be incredible for us.
Also of note, and we've kind of talked about it, but what, four out of the last five games, I think McCain's been like right around the 20 point mark. So that dude's starting to kind of take off, man. The 3-point shot is like, I mean, he's shooting 47% on 64 attempts. That's good. If you're not paying attention, that's good. He's also 90% from the line. Doesn't take a ton there. So he looks confident, man. He looks really good. I mean, the rim finishing is something that's always going to be his size and stuff. That's, you know.
90%, do you want to see more free throws from him, but you don't really want him taking much in the paint?
Yeah, I like it when he kind of drives and does that little pull up. He started hitting that like he wasn't earlier in the year, but recently he's really been nailing that. You know, just keep doing what you're doing, kid, at this point, right? Like, if you can shoot it like that, I think you got to drive a little bit to get them to kind of keep them honest with it. But, you know, I continue to monitor that. But if you're shooting 47% from three, I don't think you're going to have too many complaints about that, right? Anybody else we should highlight? I mean, I feel like we've continued to do it. But, I mean, again, give Jeremy Roach's flowers for coming back, right? Like, this dude has been so steady. What did he have last night? 17 again last night.
He's efficient.
I mean, he just continues to play. I thought he got fouled on that one that he went up for. They didn't call it. He comes right back down and kind of gets the little, like, kind of looked like he maybe traveled, but, you know, the little Euro and goes up. Maybe they called a little bit of a bobble there instead of the foul. I don't know.
He had two crafty little layups that, depending on, I don't want to call out referees' names, but a certain referee that doesn't seem to like Jeremy probably would have called him for a travel on both of those.
Yeah, that's probably fair to say. And another guy shooting 49% from three, man. I mean, he's taking 41, which is, you know, I'd like to see that continue to creep up too. I mean, this guy could, you know, he should have the ultimate green light, and I'm sure he does, but it's
Notice the ones he's taken this year, just in the past he had been more prone to taking one of those like little sidestep threes or something. Now it's more just catch and shoots.
Yeah. And he was taking a few of those earlier in the year, but man, you're right. It seems like the last month or so, like, it's just pretty much been catch and shoot. Maybe a little quick, make sure my feet are behind the line. And it's, I mean,
taking a little sidestep, that's one thing, but like jabbing in and then stepping back, that's a whole different ball game. You know?
Yeah. That's the Tyler Thornton special right there, right? The little come back. Shouts to 2012 Thornton on that one. But so I mean, really there's not a whole lot to complain about across the board. I mean, I thought, you know, we looked good.
What the rebound, I know the rebound, and I kept looking up at the scoreboard. We were getting Yeah. I mean, granted, we had to play, you know, without Ryan and Flip for probably, what, 6 minutes of the first half.
Yeah, the final total, that first they were up on us pretty big. I think the rebounding total, they beat us by one, I think.
Okay.
We both had 25 defensive rebounds. They had 6 offensive. We had 5, according to Ken Palm. Okay. So, you know, no biggie on that one either. But it's nice to get the win, to get back 1-1 in conference, give us a little bit of momentum here. That makes 5 in a row. So starting to pick up some steam, turn right around and go to Notre Dame. So we'll kind of preview that a little bit. That'll be in South Bend Saturday. Notre Dame just got a really, I don't know how big it is. The ACC, man, is just unrecognizable at this point, but they just blew the doors off of UVA. I think they play State tonight. Actually, that's probably happening right now. That game might be over or no, just started.
No, it's just okay. Started.
So we'll see what kind of momentum they can keep up from that. Again, though, I'm not going to try to oversell Notre Dame. They're 6-7, 171st in KenPom. They are incredibly young, dude. Like, I don't know if you've looked at their roster, like up and down. Their roster experience is 358th in D1, right? Like, it's freshman, sophomore, freshman, senior. It's like super young. And they play super young, right?
Like, so they're basically every Duke team for the past 10 years, minus like all the 5-star recruits,
minus all the NBA talent. Yes. Yes. Pretty much.
Sounds awful.
Yeah. And just looking at their splits, dude, it's pretty gross stuff. The offense, they play incredibly slow. They don't shoot the ball well. They're 28% from 3 as a team. They turn it over a lot. So 20% of their possessions are turnovers. Which bodes for us if we can play a little bit like we did against Syracuse. Ken Palm's predicting a 75-61 Duke win. To me, that's maybe even a bit favorable for them. I know they just beat UVA, but if you're looking across the season here at the numbers, man, it's you got losses to Western Carolina on here. You got lost to Georgetown, the Citadel. They played some tough teams, Miami, Marquette, Auburn. No wins in there, but. Yeah. You know, their best win clearly was the Virginia game here. But
well, as of this recording right now, there's 7 minutes left in the first half and they're up 23-12 on State.
Okay. So, you know, maybe they've turned a little bit of a corner. Maybe they figured some stuff out.
The way I look at ACC play, never take anything lightly. And I learned that the day that we started, it's at the 2017-18 season. We went to Boston College for the first game of the ACC season in Boston with Bagley and co,
and got, and took an L.
Yeah, they were terrible.
Yeah, you know? Took an L. So, yeah, that's fair. And that stuff definitely can happen, right? Like, I'm not saying
on the road, man. On the
road,
it
can happen. Yeah. You're right, on the road in conference, but man, just looking, I mean, we're at a better
team.
Matchups.
We're a better team. There's no doubt about it. So just go out there and TCOB, man, take care of business, and on to the next one.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no reason why we shouldn't be able to beat these guys. And honestly, like, if the spread was 75-61, I might would even take us to cover. That sounds, I don't know, we maybe covered, I'm bullish on us. But
was what, 14? We covered that with pretty good ease.
So. Put 20 on that. So, you know, you're right. It is a road game. We haven't won one of those yet, right? We've lost the back-to-back ones that we played to both better teams than Notre Dame's going to be. I don't know. I mean, what do you feel like going in? Maybe I'm being a little bit too bullish here, but what do you see going into this matchup?
Well, I mean, you know, I think back to the Georgia Tech. I'm going in going, I want to take that back. I guess Stoudemire is not a first-year coach, and neither is Shrewsbury, but it's first year at their new school, right? But these guys, obviously, they know what they're doing. I just don't think he's got enough horses to win this race. You know, I feel pretty good about where we're at with this one.
Yeah. Like I said, man, they're so young. They got they start a 5'11 freshman who's been pretty good. Again, he's 25% from 3, so that's not really a threat. They don't have anybody, they have one guy on the roster that shoots above 35% from 3. So that's a junior guard. I mean,
wonder when these students are coming back. It's got to be soon.
Got to be soon.
I mean, they might be showing back up this weekend.
Right? Yeah, classes start Monday for most universities. Okay. So it's, probably. They'll probably be there. But again, it's, I don't know, man. I feel like we should go in there and handle business for the most part. You know, I don't think they have an answer for Flip.
I was going to say, let's just get Flip off to a hot start and you know, try to reverse that trend.
Yeah. The big dude they got is pretty good at rebounding and bucking a few shots here and there. But again, man, it's they're starting, I think, what, three or four freshmen here, at least three, I think, start. So, you know, and these aren't Duke, Kentucky, Kansas type freshmen either, right? These are they're not quite there yet. Maybe they'll be good players, but as of right now, I would think that we'd have a pretty serious advantage heading in.
Sure.
I
like a spot, 14, 15.
Yeah. I would just, I don't you know, we can do predictions.
Maybe 10. Yeah. And being on the road.
Okay. So you're going, if we'll just set the line here, 75-61, you're picking Duke, but you're giving Notre Dame the points, right? Duke not covering.
Yeah. I guess okay. Being on the road. I'll do that.
That's fair. Maybe I should do that as well, but I'm going to do, I'll take Duke and the points on that one. I think we're going to beat them pretty good. So definitely get ready to record a loss reaction on Sunday then heading into that, right? But all right, man, well, I don't really have much else here. Go ahead and get this out of here. You got anything else to plug? Any kind of final takeaways from being there in person? Any kind of food recommendations? What was the Durham vibe like?
I mean, to be honest, me and my man Tanner, we called our 18 holes at Tobacco Road on the way up, so a little golf, a little cool, but you know, it's always fun to play golf out there. If any of you guys are golfers, you know what course I'm talking about, how awesome it is. It's only like an hour south of 45 minutes south of Durham. So did that, got into town, had just a nice little meal at Ted's Montana Grill.
Did you see Ryan or Murph or any of those?
Shouts to Murphy and Stephanie were behind us.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Again, got to talk to Adam and my man Tanner for coming along for the ride. I mean, we got in at 2 a.m. last night, so kind of drug ass at work today. But it was all worth it with the dub.
It's a long ride. All right, man, let's get out of here. We'll probably come back in sometime after this Notre Dame game, preview Pittsburgh coming up. We got back-to-back road games, so hopefully we can take care of business and get that road moniker off our back here. But, you know, you can find us in all the usual places, sometime unusual places again, right? You can email us at thedevilsdenpod@gmail.com. You can find us on X/Twitter @devilsdenpod247. You can find us on the boards at thedevilsden.com. As always, we appreciate any rate reviews, subscribe, all the good numbers stuff. If you're doing any resolutions, we're just hoping you're going to have a stronger face this year, Duke fans. I think that'll get us out of here. Go Duke.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.